Survey of Anglican History, Episode 14. Thomas Becket. Thomas Becket, also known as St. Thomas of Canterbury, Thomas of London, and later Thomas of Becket, who lived from 1119 to 1170, was an English cleric and statesman who served as Lord Chancellor from 155 to 1162, and then as Archbishop of Canterbury from 162 until his death in 1170. He is known for his conflict with King Henry II over the rights and privileges of the church, and was murdered by followers of the king in Canterbury Cathedral. He was canonized by Pope Alexander III 2 years after his death. He is venerated as a saint and martyr by the Catholic Church and the Anglican Communion. Sources. The main sources for the life of Becket are a number of biographies written by contemporaries. A few of these documents are by unknown writers, although historiography has given them names. The known biographers are John of Salisbury, Edward Grimm, Benedict of Peterborough, William of Canterbury, William FitzStephen, Gerns of Pont St. Maxence, Robert of Cricklade, Alan of Tewkesbury, Bennet of St. Albans, and Herbert of Bosham. The other biographers who remain anonymous are generally given the pseudonyms of Anonymous I, Anonymous II, or Anonymous of Lambeth, and Anonymous III, or Lansdowne Anonymous. Besides these accounts, there are also two others that are likely contemporary that appear in the Quadrilogus, the second, and the Thomas Saga, Archbishops. Besides these biographies, there is also the mention of the events of Becket's life in the chronicles of the time. These include Robert of Torigny's work, Roger of Howden's Gesta Regis Henrici Secundi and Chronica, Ralph de Decido's works, William of Newburgh's Historia Rerum, and Gervais of Canterbury's works. Another account appears in Expugnatio Hibernica, Conquest of Ireland, 189, by Gerald of Wales. Early life. Becket was born around 1119, or 1119, or 1120 according to later tradition, at Cheapside, London, on 21st of December, the feast day of Thomas the Apostle. He was the son of Gilbert and Matilda Becket. Gilbert's father was from Thierville in the lordship of Brionne in Normandy, and was either a small landowner or a petty knight. Matilda was also of Norman descent. Her family may have originated near Caen. Gilbert was perhaps related to Theobald of Bec, whose family was also from Thierville. Gilbert began his life as a merchant, perhaps in textiles, but by the 120s he was living in London and was a property owner, living on the rental income from his properties. He also served as the sheriff of the city at some point. Becket's parents were buried in Old St. Paul's Cathedral. One of Becket's father's wealthy friends, Richard de Lagle, often invited Thomas to his estates in Sussex, where Becket encountered hunting and hawking. According to Grimm, Becket learned much from Richard, who was later a signatory of the constitutions of Clarendon against him. At age 10, Becket was sent as a student to Merton Priory, southwest of the city in Surrey. He later attended a grammar school in London, perhaps the one at St. Paul's Cathedral. He did not study any subjects beyond the Trivium and Quadrivium at these schools. Around age 20, he spent about a year in Paris, but he did not study canon or civil law at the time, and his Latin skill remained somewhat rudimentary. Sometime after Becket began his schooling, his father suffered financial reverses, and Becket was forced to earn a living as a clerk. With the help of his father, he secured a place in the business of a relative. Later, Becket acquired a position in the household of Archbishop of Canterbury Theobald of Bec. Theobald entrusted him with several important missions to Rome, and also sent him to Bologna and Auxerre to study canon law. In 1154, Theobald named Becket Archdeacon of Canterbury, and other ecclesiastical offices included benefices, prebends at Lincoln Cathedral and St. Paul's Cathedral, and provost of Beverley. His efficiency in those posts led Theobald to recommend him to King Henry II for the vacant post of Lord Chancellor. to which Becket was appointed in January 1155. As chancellor, Becket enforced the king's traditional sources of revenue that were exacted from all landowners, including churches and bishoprics. King Henry sent his son Henry to live in Becket's household, it being the custom then for noble children to be fostered out to other noble houses. Primacy. Becket was nominated as Archbishop of Canterbury in 1162, several months after the death of Theobald. His election was confirmed on May 23, 1162 by a royal council of bishops and noblemen. Henry may have hoped that Becket would continue to put royal government first rather than the church, but the famed transformation of Becket into an ascetic occurred at this time. Becket was ordained a priest on June 2, 1062 at Canterbury, and on 3rd of June he was consecrated as archbishop by Henry of Blois, the Bishop of Winchester, and the other suffragan bishops of Canterbury. A rift grew between Henry and Becket as Becket resigned his chancellorship, sought to recover and extend the rights of the archbishopric. This led to a series of conflicts with the king, including one over the jurisdiction of secular courts over English clergymen, which accelerated antipathy between Becket and the king. Attempts by Henry to influence other bishops against Becket began in Westminster Abbey in October 1163, where the king sought approval of the traditional rights of royal government in regard to the church. This led to the Constitutions of Clarendon in 1164, where Becket was officially asked to agree to the king's rights or face political repercussions. Constitutions of Clarendon. King Henry II presided over assemblies of most of the higher English clergy at Clarendon Palace on January 30, 1164. In 16 constitutions, he sought less clerical independence and weaker connections with Rome. He used his skills to induce their consent and apparently succeeded with all but Becket. Finally, even Becket expressed willingness to agree to the substance of the Constitutions of Clarendon, but he still refused formally to sign the documents. Henry summoned Becket to appear before a great council at Northampton Castle on October 8, 1164, to answer allegations of contempt of royal authority and malfeasance in the Chancellor's office. Convicted on the charges, Becket stormed out of the trial and fled to the continent. Henry pursued the fugitive archbishop with a series of edicts, targeting Becket and all Becket's friends and supporters, but King Louis VII of France offered Becket protection. He spent nearly 2 years in the Cistercian Abbey of Pontigny until Henry's threats against the order obliged him to return to Sens. Becket fought back by threatening excommunication and an interdict against the king and bishops in the kingdom, but Pope Alexander III, though sympathizing with him in theory, favored a more diplomatic approach. Papal legates were sent in 1167 with authority to act as arbitrators. 1170, Alexander sent delegates to impose a solution to the dispute. At that point, Henry offered a compromise that would allow Thomas to return to England from exile. Assassination. On June 14, 1170, Roger de Pont-Levec, Archbishop of York, was at Westminster Abbey with Gilbert Folliot, Bishop of London, and Jocelyn de Bohun, Bishop of Salisbury, to crown the heir apparent, Henry the Young King. This breached Canterbury's privilege of coronation, and in November 1170, Becket excommunicated all three. On hearing reports of Becket's actions, Henry II is said to have uttered words interpreted by his men as wishing Becket killed. The exact wording is in doubt, and several versions were reported. The most commonly quoted, as invented in 1740 and handed down by oral tradition, is "Will no one rid me of this turbulent priest?" But according to historian Simon Schama, this is incorrect. He accepts the account of the contemporary biographer Grimm, writing in Latin, who gives "what Mithridor be treated with such shameful contempt by a lowborn cleric." Many other variants have found their way into popular culture. Regardless of what Henry said, it was interpreted as a royal command. Four knights, Reginald Fitzurse, Hugh de Morville, William de Tracy, and Richard Le Breton, set out to confront Becket. On December 29th, 1170 they arrived at Canterbury. According to accounts by the monk Gervase of Canterbury and eyewitness Grimm, the knights placed their weapons under a tree outside the cathedral and hid their armor under cloaks before entering to challenge Becket. The knights told Becket he was to go to Winchester to give an account of his actions, but Becket refused. When he refused their demands to submit to the king's will, they retrieved their weapons and rushed back inside. Becket, meanwhile, proceeded to the cathedral for vespers. The other monks tried to bolt themselves in for safety, but Becket said to them, "It is not right to make a fortress out of the house of prayer." Ordering them to reopen the doors, the four knights, wielding drawn swords, ran into the room, crying, "Where is Thomas Becket, traitor to the king and country?" They found Becket in a spot near a door to the monastic cloister, the stairs into the crypt, and the stairs leading up into the choir of the cathedral, where the monks were chanting vespers. On seeing them, Becket said, "I am no traitor, and I am ready to die." One knight grabbed him and tried to pull him outside, but Becket grabbed onto a pillar and bowed his head to make peace with God. Several contemporary accounts of what happened next exist. Of particular note is that of Grimm, who was wounded in the attack. This is part of his account. The impious knight suddenly set upon him and shaved off the summit of his crown, which the sacred chrism consecrated to God. Then with another blow received on the head, he remained firm. But with the third, the stricken martyr bent his knees and elbows, offering himself as a living sacrifice, saying in a low voice, "For the name of Jesus and the protection of the church, I am ready to embrace death." But the third knight inflicted a grave wound on the fallen one. With this blow, his crown, which was large, separated from his head, so that the blood turned white from the brain, yet no less did the brain turn red from the blood. It purpled the appearance of the church. The fifth, not a knight but a cleric who had entered with the knights, placed his foot on the neck of the holy priest and precious martyr, and, it is horrible to say, scattered the brains with the blood across the floor, exclaiming to the rest, "We can leave this place, knights. He will not get up again." After his death, the monks prepared Becket's body for burial. According to some accounts, it was found that Becket had worn a hair shirt under his archbishop's garments, a sign of penance. Soon after, the faithful throughout Europe began venerating Becket as a martyr. And on February 21st, 1173, a little more than 2 years after his death, he was canonized by Pope Alexander III in St. Peter's Church, Segni. In 1173, Becket's sister Mary was appointed abbess of Barking as reparation for the murder of her brother. On July 12th, 1174, amidst the revolt of 173 to 174, Henry humbled himself in public penance at Becket's tomb and at St. Dunstan's Church, Canterbury, which became a popular pilgrimage site. Becket's assassins fled north to De Morville's Knaresborough Castle for about a year. De Morville also held property in Cumbria, and this too may have provided a hiding place as the men prepared for a longer stay in the separate kingdom of Scotland. They were not arrested, and Henry did not confiscate their lands, but he did not help them when they sought his advice in August 1171. Pope Alexander excommunicated all four. Seeking forgiveness, the assassins traveled to Rome, where Alexander ordered them to serve as knights in the Holy Lands for a period of 14 years. This sentence also inspired the Knights of St. Thomas, incorporated in 1191 at Acre, and which was to be modeled on the Teutonic Knights. This was the only military order native to England, with chapters in Acre, London, Kilkenny, and Nicosia. Just as the Gilbertine Order was the only monastic order native to England, the monks were afraid Becket's body might be stolen, and so his remains were placed beneath the floor of the eastern crypt of the cathedral. A stone cover over it had two holes where pilgrims could insert their heads and kiss the tomb, as illustrated in the miracle windows of the Trinity Chapel. A guard chamber, now the wax chamber, had a clear view of the grave. In 1220, Becket's bones were moved to a gold-plated, bejeweled shrine behind the high altar in the recently built Trinity Chapel. The golden casket was placed on a pink marble base with prayer niches raised on three steps. Canterbury's religious history had always brought many pilgrims, and after Becket's death, the numbers rapidly rose. Cult in the Middle Ages. In Dublin, the Abbey of St. Thomas the Martyr was built in 1177 for the Augustines. In Scotland, King William the Lion ordered the building of Arbroath Abbey in 1178. On completion in 1197, the new foundation was dedicated to Becket, whom the king had known personally while at the English court as a young man. The translation of Becket's body occurred on July 7, 1220, the 50th jubilee year of his death, and was one of the great symbolic events in the life of the medieval English church. Attended by King Henry III, the papal legate, Archbishop of Canterbury Stephen Langton, and many dignitaries and magnates, both secular and ecclesiastical. Major new feast day was instituted, commemorating the translation, celebrated each July almost everywhere in England and in many French churches. It was suppressed in 1536 with the Reformation. The shrine was destroyed in 1538 during the dissolution of the monasteries on orders from King Henry VIII. He also destroyed Becket's bones and ordered all mention of his name obliterated. Cult began, which included drinking of water of St. Thomas, a mix of water and the remains of the martyr's blood miraculously multiplied. The procedure was frowned upon by the more orthodox, due to the similarities with the Eucharist of the blood of Jesus. The saint's fame quickly spread through the Norman world. The first holy image of Becket is thought to be a mosaic icon still visible in Monreale Cathedral in Sicily, created shortly after his death. Becket's cousins obtained refuge at the Sicilian court during their exile, and King William II of Sicily wed a daughter of Henry II. Marsala Cathedral in western Sicily is dedicated to Becket. Over 45 medieval chasse reliquaries decorated in champleve enamel showing similar scenes from Becket's life survive, including the Becket casket, constructed to hold relics of him at Peterborough Abbey and now housed in London's Victoria and Albert Museum. As the scion of a mercantile dynasty of later centuries, Mercers, Becket was much regarded as a Londoner by citizens and adopted as London's co-patron saint with St. Paul. Both appear on the seals of the city and of the Lord Mayor. The Bridge House Estate seal has only a Becket image, while his martyrdom is shown on the reverse. Legacy. Thank you for listening to A Survey of Anglican History. This episode is based on content from Wikipedia, used under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. The material has been adapted for clarity and narration. This podcast uses voice synthesis technology to assist in production, allowing for consistent and accessible storytelling.